Radio. The transmission and reception of electromagnetic waves on radio frequency, especially those carrying sound messages, or the activity or industry of broadcasting sound programs to the public. Fanboy. A male fan, especially one who behaves in an obsessive or overexcited way.
This is the Radio Fanboy Podcast, and here's your host, Bevo.
So today we're talking to a female voiceover who has dominated Southeast Queensland for quite some time. Her experience includes on air at B105, Star 106.9 and Ipswich, and I've just been informed the first female jock on FM 104 Rock and Stereo. Would you please make welcome Sharon Doolan?
Thanks, Lee.
How are you, Shaz? You right?
I am fabulous, thank you. Even more so for having a chat with you this morning.
Oh, this is great, because your voice has been in my ear for so many years now. I had to make sure we spoke to you on this podcast. And the beginnings of Sharon Doolan, let's go back to the very beginning. What was the interest in using your voice to make a dollar?
Okay, well, it started when I was a teenager. I did theatre.
Yes.
And I loved it. Being a different character and jumping on stage and entertaining audiences. I loved that. But I had so many people saying, oh, don't be an actor, don't be an actor. You'll never make any money. Okay. But I still, that whole feeling wouldn't leave me. I really wanted to entertain people. So I got into radio and took a little bit of time to do that. But my first radio station was FM 104.
Oh, my God. Like, there couldn't be anything bigger, could there?
It was so cool back in the 80s when 104, it was the heyday of radio, and FM 104 in particular was the highest rating radio station in all of Australia, and it still is.
Yeah.
It will never, ever be beaten. We were just slightly shy of 40% of the market.
Incredible.
But it was the heyday. We were doing everything. The music was great. The announcers, the team, it was small, but totally incredible. So that was my introduction to radio. I didn't do the country thing. And I am so eternally grateful for being given that opportunity.
So how did you get in there? Like, was it just the right place, right time, or you were...
I was a pest.
That's how everyone gets in, isn't it?
Can I say I was a pest?
Yeah, sure.
I think to a degree, right place, right time. They were looking for some females because, you know, female announcers back in the 80s were as rare as hen's teeth.
Yeah.
And still are, by the way. Mm. So I think that they were looking for a female announcer. I'd done down in Melbourne a couple of different radio courses. One was individual tuition and the other one was a class. You know, I came out of those thinking, well, yeah, that's it. I know everything.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. Sadly, I did not. So I came up to Queensland. I knew that they were kind of half looking. So I thought, well, bugger it. I'm just going to come up and, yeah, that job's mine. No one else's, that's mine. So then it was about 6 months of training every moment that I had in the second studio. And practice. And eventually I got on air, midnight to dawn.
Yeah.
But gosh, I was so happy.
Oh, I bet you were. I would have been the same growing up and listening to FM 104. That was like the only commercial FM station in town for so long.
Yeah, yeah.
And the clarity of FM compared to AM was just incredible. You were playing music and, you know, the voices were cutting through. It was just absolutely incredible. So from there, where did you go from FM 104?
I then went to 4BK.
Yeah.
And I was there when 4BK converted over to the FM band as B105. I was doing nights.
Oh, yeah.
And some weekend daytime shifts and breakfasts and stuff like that. So, yeah,
yes.
It was like all kinds of shifts, but it was wonderful and just developed even further skills doing interviews.
I remember recording some of your breaks from overnight, and there was one sentence that just stuck out from something about Alanis Morissette could be Madonna's protege. Do you remember saying that back in the day?
Oh, she was.
Yeah.
She was absolutely her protege.
And I actually had to Google the word protege because I'd never heard it before. But your vocabulary is so expansive that I had to learn new words. So thank you for educating me.
Hey, my pleasure. That's nice to know. Thank you.
Yeah, so many years on B105 and...
I did Talkback.
Oh, yeah.
When 4BH changed over for a little while, it was not even a whole year, I don't think, it flicked across to doing Talkback.
Yeah.
So at that stage, the program director gave me a buzz and he said, Sharon, would you like to do Talkback? And I said, I've never done it before. I wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And he said, that's okay. Can you talk on the phone? I said, yeah, of course. All right. You've got the job.
Jeez. Tough audition.
That was it. I know. So I ended up going back on to Midnight to Dawn to do that because for me it was just like, oh, wow, this is so different. You know, I've been a rock jock. I've been a music jock. Talkback is something entirely different where you really and truly are talking for hours. So I went back on to Midnight to Dawn for that and had a great time, by the way. Loved it.
I'm going to ask, how was that transition? Because, you know, you're used to talking for like 20 seconds tops in a format that is
exactly.
CHR, and now you're basically talking for...
hours. Exactly. Yeah, that's part of the reason why I said, listen, let me just go on to Midnight to Dawn because this is so new. This is so different. But, yeah, Midnight to Dawn was such fun.
Did you have a few crazies ringing up at that time of the night?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I had a death threat.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
Right.
We'd got on to talking about Nazis.
Yeah.
We did that, I've got no idea. We talked about a whole bunch of things, but we got on to talking about Nazis, and this guy had phoned up, and he was a Nazi.
Oh.
So that was kind of confronting, but
yes.
I let him have his say. You know, this is a democracy. There are always different sides to the story. And it was interesting, frightening, but interesting. When he started to go a little bit too far, I went, no, that's it. Sorry. Goodbye. That's it. Go away.
Yep.
So then, and he rattled me a little bit at that point. But then after that, I went into music or an ad break, something along those lines. And he phoned back and he then started to threaten me. And this is not live to air, but this is just on the phone.
Yep.
And I said, no, you're not going back on the radio. That's it. Sorry. Not going to happen. And he continued to phone up and threaten.
Wow.
Well, I have the most wonderful thing sitting in front of my face called a microphone.
Yeah.
So I opened up the microphone live on air and gave him a blast. And I said, I do not appreciate being given a death threat. Well, there's a lot of people around at that hour of the morning.
Yeah.
And I had police and I had security guards outside 4BH and they stayed there all night and they made sure that I was safe.
Oh, good.
And it was great.
I was going to say, did anything escalate from that or was it just empty threats?
No, the guy ended up phoning back shortly after I'd done the live broadcast. And he said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it like that. And I said, really?
Yeah.
You threatened me several times. Yeah. You didn't mean it. What kind of a bully are you?
Yeah.
So.
Very confronting.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, well, that's it. You've done your dash. Goodbye.
Where to from there, Sharon?
That I was freelancing doing some voiceovers at that point as well. Actually started doing voiceovers when I was at 104.
Yeah.
Then I ended up out at Star FM doing breakfast news.
Wow.
Yeah, breakfast news.
News, that's you really are covering all hats here. You've gone from being a music jock to a talkback jock to a newsreader. This is great.
Yeah. News director out at Star. And I was also, because there's a lot of automation as well, and recording the drive, no, not drive, night, nights? Yeah, I think it was nights. Gosh, it's a little while ago now. Recording nights, so pre-recorded nights. And so I stayed doing that for a while, and then I ended up being the drive jock live.
You never had any nicknames over the years on the air, did you?
No, people do call me Shaz occasionally.
Yeah.
I just think of, you know, Kath and Kim. Shaz?
Yeah.
Really?
How's those?
You think I'm a Shaz?
Shaz are from the western suburbs.
Exactly.
On Star FM.
That's it. Hang on, I'll just get my Uggies. Oh, look, hey, Uggies, I love my Uggies.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I fit it in.
There's more party days back in the 80s and 90s on radio, wasn't
there
it? Like
was.
You're allowed to smoke and drink in the studio.
That's correct.
Yes.
Yep.
So I just imagine you having a glass of red when you're on the air. Is that how it rolled, or did you?
Oh, darling, I wish.
No. You're a very classy lady, so I was just thinking, you know, a glass of red before I do a talk break? No?
No. Oh, man, I would have been killed.
What were you drinking?
Coffee or tea?
Oh, okay.
Or water.
You're well behaved.
So boring. Well, particularly during breakfast, well, it's like, you know. It doesn't take too much for me. So, you know, two pot screamer kind of thing.
Yeah.
If I'd had that before going on air,
and would
not have been good. Actually, I did once.
Yep.
Like downstairs at 104.
Okay.
When we were in Queen Street. And there was a ratings party going on. So I was doing mid-dawns. I've gone downstairs. I've joined everyone doing this massive party. That was a whole bunch of fun. I had a couple of drinks before going up and organising my music.
Good girl.
I tell you, that was a really, really relaxed show.
I was going to say, are you one of these people, because you've got the red hair, do you find that your face gets quite red when you have alcohol?
Yes.
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 Yeah, I've got an auntie like that. She has a similar thing. So I can say, "Auntie, you've been on the reds again?" She goes, "Maybe." She's like glowing bright red, so you can't help but see that.
Yep.
So,
sadly.
Star FM, was that your final time on air, or did you keep going?
Yes and no. My last shift on radio, commercial radio, was what we know as 9/11/2001.
Yes.
And that was my last day on radio. I've woken up the next day. The whole world has just exploded into this. What has happened? This is just crazy. I was fully expecting a phone call to say, "Sharon, quick, get in here. We need your help." I couldn't have done it. I was booked for a documentary, so I really and truly couldn't have done it. But I didn't see, when I went to the studio to read or voice this documentary, they said, "Have you seen what happened with the Twin Towers?" And I said, "No, I've listened to it. I haven't seen it." And they said, "Good, you're not going to see it until after you've finished." And they were quite correct, because I was so, so upset when I saw it. But my last day on radio, commercial radio, was 9/11/2001. Yep. But probably about 3.5 years ago now. See, I walked away. I was just doing voiceovers, done for the past 20 years, just doing voiceovers all around Australia, all around the world. And you would hear me for the coronavirus pandemic. I am the federal government's voice that is talking about the coronavirus and hand hygiene and making sure you look after yourself and your neighbours. And so that's where people would really and truly hear me the most at the moment, because the ads that I do are all over the place, including, you know, Southeast Queensland, all over the world. But about 3.5 years ago, I was asked to assist with a local community radio station called Bay FM.
Yes, I've heard about Bay. There's lots of good stories and people that come out of Bay FM there.
Yeah, I'm so proud. About 3.5 years ago, it was 5, maybe 6 weeks away from folding.
Seriously? Wow.
Yeah, seriously. Okay. It was bad.
Yep.
And so now here's the nice thing. I was asked for assistance, and I said, "Sure, not a problem." So I brought in Ted Seymour, who was my first boss at FM 104. He was the general manager.
Oh, my God, that's awesome.
I know. So he's the station manager. He's helped guide the sound of the radio station. Tony Edwards was the man that looked after the promotions that we loved in the 80s at FM 104.
Yep.
He is the promotions manager and looking after sponsorships.
Yep.
So that's why Bay FM is just a wonderful radio station, because it's being guided by people who actually care about radio and care about the community. And Ted and I teach new announcers as they come through. So yeah, we're just enormously proud of all of the people at the radio station. We really are.
Oh, Sharon, that is so good to hear. I'm just like wanting to all of a sudden jump in a car and head to Bay FM just to meet these people and be a part of this dream team. It's incredible.
It is.
Yeah, it must just feel good, like being able to use your knowledge and experience for good.
Yeah, Well, it's giving back.
Yeah.
The whole industry has given me so much that now there's no opportunities. And I find this incredibly sad with the amount of networking that's going on. How are people going to have the chance to learn any of these skills?
Yeah, exactly.
They're being lost.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that we can do at Bay FM is we can teach them. There are people who are great announcers. Oh, my gosh, you want to have a listen to the radio station. There are some fabulous people there.
I think it's time to name drop now, Sharon.
Okay, you want to have a listen to Sandy Birch.
Yep.
She is fantastic. You want to have a listen to Tony Tranter. He's amazing. I want them to be picked up by commercial radio.
It sounds like they've got brands out there already with those names. They're just...
I know. Radioactive, the show at nights. They're all truly amazing people. And as I said, I'm super duper proud of them.
It's pretty incredible when you start in community radio, people compare community radio to commercial radio and they think, oh yeah, they've got lots of money, they can do this, this and this. And they always make excuses why they can't do things in community radio. But at the end of the day, it's the people, not the equipment. It's not the budgets. It's the passion. It's the people that want to make a difference. And it comes across on air, doesn't it, Sharon?
Very much. We've transformed the radio station a lot over the past 3 years. We've got new studios. We just literally, not yesterday, the day prior, opened up a new studio in Manly.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. So we can broadcast from Thornlands and we broadcast live.
Yeah.
Completely, live and local. We do have an automation program overnight.
Okay.
That's when no one's there.
Yeah.
But no, other than that, we are live.
Wow.
So it's good.
It's rare.
Fly by the seat of your pants.
Yeah. There's no better feeling than being a live radio jock on the air. When you voice track, it kind of feels like you're just pushing it out there and it doesn't mean as much. But when you're live, you're connected, you're in the moment, bam.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it's at.
And when you do something, you know what it's like when you're an announcer. And this is something that Ted and I teach the students. And we've literally just finished the most recent announcer's training course. But one of the things that we try and say is, as an announcer, when you're live and you've got music coming up underneath you and you just manage to hit on a guitar riff that is just amazing, or you just stop ahead of the vocals, you know, you hit the post, that is the most amazing feeling to do something along those lines. Time it out so it just hits perfectly. And we've said, when you do that and you know you've done good, you will just be celebrating in the studio. Yay!
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's an amazing feeling. And the students that have come through the course, when they actually do that, they've come back to Ted and I and said, oh, my God, I did it. It felt so good. It's a great feeling.
I think you've got me sold. I just want to sign up and do this course just to learn all it over again and find the passion. It's great. You're doing some pretty incredible things these days, not only with your voice, but also for the creative industry.
Okay. Well, the premise behind it is when you do a voiceover, or you write the copy, or you're the audio engineer, producer, creative director, there are so many people who work in the creative industries that we know. This is not just in Australia. This is all over the world. Lots and lots of people. So when an ad, as an example, is sent out into the big wide world, there is nothing that says who you are and how to contact you from that work. Like, there's some very clever, clever advertising that you think, wow, who wrote that? Who voiced that? Who did the animation? There's nothing that says anyone worked on it. No, you know, at the end of movies, they've got the end credits. That's kind of what we're doing here, except it's going to be end credits for all of the creative people who've been working on a project.
Oh, wow.
So you can be discovered from the work that you do.
That's really cool, because I notice a lot of voiceover agencies these days are just hiding people's names so they can't be discovered, and so they can cash in themselves on your talent.
And that's the sad thing. I've spoken to people from all over the world in regards to this. And there's a world of hurt, not just in the voice industry, but there is a world of hurt. And this is what absolutely disgusts me with the voice industry and so many different platforms that are out there. Yeah, they hide your name. They don't want you to be discovered. And they take in a lot of instances, up to 70% of the money that is given.
Wow.
Yeah. That's and I was even talking to a young man yesterday, and I was just so angry. That is one of the things that I want to change, but not just for voices. I want to change it for the entire industry. There's some very, very unscrupulous people out there who are ripping people off,
yeah.
You know, and you've gone to university, you've got a hex debt for all of these creative skills that you've developed, and then you've got these unscrupulous operators who are saying, come here, we'll do some marketing, we'll give you a job on a freelance basis, but we're going to take at least 70% of the money that's generated. You can just have a pittance.
Wow.
And so that means that you're reliant on them for your next job and your next job and your next job, and they don't recognise who you are. I'm sorry, what part of that is correct?
No, that's not fair at all. So it's Zidget, is it? Is that the name of the website?
Zidget.
Yes.
Yep.
And is it
Zidget?
And where did the name come from? Is it talking about digits and had a bit of a brainstorm?
No. I was trying to find a name that, you know how Google has become a verb?
Yes.
Right. I wanted a word that was made up to become a verb.
Yeah, okay.
So that worldwide, when people are talking about being recognized, getting their next job, being identified with the work that they've done, it's just like, hey, have you just go and Zidget. Have you checked out Zidget? Go and look at Zidget. I want it to be a verb like that. So it's a made up word.
Oh, so it's kind of like a search directory for creatives.
Yeah. And it will be.
Oh, cool. How exciting. Yeah, I've seen you on LinkedIn and doing some promotional videos and so forth talking about it. And I'm like, oh, this sounds very promising. So that's very exciting. Shara Doolan, thank you so much for joining us on the Radio Fanboy podcast. How do we find out more about Shara Doolan voiceovers?
Well, I've got a webpage if you want to, SharonDoolanVoices.com.
Mm-hmm.
But if you happen to work in the creative industries and you want to be recognised for the work that you do, go and pre-register Zidget.com, Zidjit.com.
Oh, I like the sound of that. Sharon Doolan, thanks again for joining us on the Radio Fanboy podcast.
The Radio Fanboy podcast, hosted by Bevo and produced by Matt Fulton Productions. Dan Hill speaking.